With this week that's coming up, or this past week?
This past week. It's been unduly hot.
It has been. It,
kind of ridiculous, in fact, but it's actually, still been very windy.
Yeah, I love it.
Windy, hot weather. Now, that's unusual.
No, it's unusual for November.
Well, that's what I meant.
Hmm.
One thing I like, though, is all the leaves on the street.
Mm-hmm.
It makes driving difficult.
It makes it fun.
You don't know if things are in there.
That's true.
Like rocks and...
children.
Cats and, yeah, things like that.
Yeah,
you don't know what's going to happen when you go over those leaves, but it's a challenge, that's for sure. Walking through the leaves is nice.
The cart machine is laughing?
Yeah, we have a laughing cart machine. That's common knowledge now.
Yeah, I guess you just talk about it nonchalantly now.
Yeah, we used to. Every so often you hear a giggle in the background.
Yeah.
And it's our... It's a machine.
What is our purpose? Who are we?
We're the voice of Long Island.
I'm Mike Uhas, and you're...
Eric Corley.
Yeah, and we'll be here for a couple hours.
That's right, doing all kinds of strange, interesting things, talking about... all kinds of, that's really kind of distracting.
Yeah, well, I should
having a machine
mentioned.
Giggle at you.
Yeah. We should have Mark Egan coming up, right?
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah.
And
you always...
Whatever else comes to mind.
I always listen to the non-commercial radio, and oftentimes people will be coming up for interviews, but they're always stuck in traffic or something.
Well, there's no traffic tonight, so I don't accept that as an excuse.
Well, how do you know there's no traffic?
Well, Friday night at 12:04?
Seven, sorry.
12:07? Are we that late?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, well, that's like 5 minutes of useless dribble that we've already gone through.
That's true.
Speaking about useless dribble, what's in that book?
Oh, we have a book here. That's right. A book... It just came in this week, I believe.
Yeah.
Called Words. Words, yes, what wonderful things they are.
And who wrote it?
A man named Paul Dixon.
And it's on, what record label is it?
What record label? Delacord Press is what you can find this on.
Oh.
It's describes itself as a connoisseur's collection of old and new, weird and wonderful, useful and outlandish words. I guess that's the whole title, if you want to be official about it. And, it's presented in quite an interesting milieu, would you say?
Yes, it is a very interesting milieu.
Yeah. Would you like to know some words? Well, there are chapters. It's divided up into lots and lots of different chapters. In fact,
we divided amongst ourselves several chapters.
Yeah, but I just wanted to mention one of them because it's pretty good. And flip open
the
page. Yes. No, actually, this isn't it. There are a bunch of words in here that mean the same thing.
Uh-huh.
That mean getting drunk.
Uh-huh. There's over 2,200 of them.
Yeah, they gave the exact number, exactly 2,000-something or other, but I can't find the chapter, unfortunately. It's in there somewhere. But over 2,000 words that mean drunk.
And how many did you think you were going to read?
Well, I didn't want to read them right now. I just wanted to see how many there were.
I see.
But that's not important. We can get to that a little later on. Actually, I found a chapter right now, so let me get to the number.
Oh, you did find it.
Yeah. Soused synonyms, that's what they call it. Exactly 2,231 words and phrases for drunk.
Hmm.
All right, we'll get to that later on.
Oh, come. Why don't you read some of your
favorites? All right. Read a few of them. Want to go with the S's?
Sure.
Okay.
Only the ones you can say on the air.
Sniffed the barmaid's apron. Snoot full. Snug. Here's a good one. So, S-O. Soused. Soupy. Soul in soak. Sato. Sottish. Sot. Sot drunk. So-so. So shed. Spotty. Spreed. Sprung. Stale. Starting to get lit up. Starting to show his drink. State of elevation. Staying late at the office. Steeped, stewed. Stewed as a fresh boiled owl. The car machine liked that one. Stiff, stiff as a goat. Stiff as a plank. Stiff as a ramrod. Stiff as a ring bolt. Stiffo. Stimulated, stinking drunk. Stinko, stoned. Stunned, stupefied, stupid. Sucky. A couple more. I'm going to put an end to this. Swaddled, swazzled, sweet, swigged. Swilled, swine drunk, swazzled, and sure petrified.
Hmm.
Now, the words I wanted to read.
Oh.
I didn't want to read those. You made me read those.
Oh, right.
I wanted to read some fighting words.
I get my chance.
Yeah, fighting words. A muster of military terminology. Okay, these are some things straight from the military. Do you know what a balbo is?
No.
Balbo, a massive flight formation involving hundreds of aircraft named after the Italian general Italo Balbo, who led a mass flight from Italy to the United States and returned in 1933. Balbos are often seen at the ends of movies about World War II. Okay. A caltrop. A caltrop is a military device used for stopping cavalry and horse-drawn vehicles. It is a small, multi-pointed piece of iron that always presents at least one sharp spike when thrown on the ground. Okay, conservatory, glass-enclosed machine gun turret, common to large World War II-era aircraft. Here's one you'd like. Foo, F-O-O.
What is it?
What a foo is? A mysterious military onlooker. He was described in a British naval magazine in 1946. Mr. Foo is a mysterious Second World War product, gifted with bitter omniscience and sarcasm. Okay, Furphy. F-U-R-P-H-Y. Furphy. A latrine rumor. A reference to the Furphy brothers who furnished field latrines to the Australian Army from 1890 to 1916. Suitcase warfare.
What's that?
A term that drives home the size and portability of new types of weaponry. To quote from the definition of this term that appears in the report of an insurance industry think tank, it is conceivable that an object the size of a suitcase and carried as inconspicuously could contain any of several substances which could destroy whole structures and even whole cities.
Hmm.
Megacorps.
Megacorps.
A nuclear age word for a million dead people.
That's very interesting. Hand me the book. I'm
One more.
Okay.
One more. Let me just find a good one. Make sure it's a good one. Okay. Unk-unks. Unk-unks, yeah. Short for technological unknown unknowns. Used by military planners whose unk-unks usually pertain to what the Soviet military planners are planning.
Mm-hmm.
And that is some military talk straight from the, book of words.
I'm going to flip into a different chapter here. Acronyms.
Okay. Acronyms?
I get a kick out of acronyms.
Okay.
You know what an acronym is, right?
Yes.
Well, why don't you explain it?
You explain it. It's your category.
Well, an acronym is basically a word.
I could explain it, but I think you can do a better job since you have it right in front of you.
Well, I'm not reading from the book.
All right. Well, go ahead anyway.
Okay, I will. An acronym is basically a word that is basically the initials of a whole series of words.
Right, like chaos.
Right. Which what did chaos stand for?
I don't know. I don't know what that stood for.
Hmm.
If anyone out there knows, we want to know. It's not that we have to know, but we want to know.
And while we're at it, what did control stand for?
What did control stand for? You don't know either, huh?
Well, the phones aren't lighting up.
Well, they don't have to light up until after we stop talking because
okay.
It's kind of impolite to stop talking to answer the phone.
That's right.
We'll give out our phone number later.
I've gone through just about all these acronyms in here, and there are quite a few. BOGSAT, B-O-G-S-A-A-T. Have any idea what that stands for?
None.
That's an acronym cynically applied to the preferred technique of high-level decision-making in America. It stands for a bunch of guys sitting around a table.
Isn't that something?
Mm. DACOR, D-A-C-O-R, is an IBM product. It stands for Data Correction System. And that had to be renamed when the acronym, the first acronym, was figured out. Do you want to answer the door?
Yeah, I hear somebody pounding at the door. That might be our guest.
Oh, no, somebody else is getting it.
Oh, someone else is getting it.
Yeah. The first...
Wow, a nifty little noise.
Somebody's yelling for me. The first IBM product that was renamed DACOR was... Will you stop distracting me like this now?
Sorry.
The first one was called the Forward Error Control Electronic System. And then when they found out the acronym for that, they changed it to DACOR.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah. And then there's another story of about the same thing, kind of like the same thing. Tiffany's, it said, once refused to inscribe the silver collection plates of the First Unitarian Church of Kennebunkport.
Kennebunkport?
Yes.
That rings a bell for some reason.
Hmm. It does. We just walked in, but Mark Egan, it looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, could you just pull up your chair there? And there's a microphone there for you too. Why don't you just pull up a chair and make yourself at home?
Thanks.
And take your coat off. And just that's your microphone there. We'll be with you in just a moment, okay?
Yeah, we're talking about words right now.
Oh.
Strange words.
They're important.
We're into acronyms.
Yeah, we're into acronyms right now. And I just have a couple more here to read, and then we'll go into. to see what you have on your mind. Now, you remember back in the movie 2001, A Space Odyssey?
Best film ever made, and I don't want to talk to anybody who doesn't agree with that.
What did HAL stand for?
Oh, gosh. wait a second. No, I do know that because I've read the book a couple of times. What does it stand for?
Well, it's a crypto acronym.
Yeah.
That's what they call it here. The demonic computer HAL of that film reveals his true identity when each letter of the acronym is advanced one letter to IBM.
Right. But did HAL mean anything?
I don't know.
I think it did stand for something, but
really?
I'm not certain on that either.
Do you know what NOSE, N-O-S-E, stands for?
No idea.
National Odd Shoe Exchange.
You're going to have to explain that one.
No, I don't think I'm going to.
There's no explanation for something
it's
like that?
It's just this National Odd Shoe Exchange. NOSE. Okay.
And no one knows who's responsible for it.
Pot. Do you know what that represents?
Of course I know what that represents.
What? What are those?
We're not supposed to talk. Oh, you mean, there. Okay. No, I don't know what it represents.
Okay, this is an army term that stands for a portable outdoor toilet. Really true.
Okay.
This is very true, and I think I had one more here. Yes, Wong. W-O-N-G, and it's not a radio station. Well, it might be.
It's a good name for a radio station.
Yeah.
Wong, I don't know.
It's called Weight on Nose Gear, and that's a NASA term.
Weight on Nose Gear.
These are a few acronyms that we've dug up out of this book, Words, by Paul Dixon, the author of The Official Rules. It's on Delacorte. It's $13.95.
You're not allowed to say prices over the air. Take that back.
Okay.
Good.
All right.
Now, we'll read some more words later on.
We will, but
we
do have a special guest in the studio.
Yes.
Mark Egan. Now, what brings you up here tonight now? Do you have a new album or something?
Yep.
Why don't you pull your chair up a little bit closer to the microphone?
I'm here to bring you the new Elements record.
Yeah. Now, check this out. This is on Philo Records, too.
Uh-huh.
And
you just had something queued up on Philo Records.
Yes, I do, in fact, yes.
Right when I walked in, I saw that. What record is that?
That's Decents. The Decents. It's an EP.
Uh-huh.
I follow Philo Records because I'm basically into folk music an awful lot. And when I heard that you're coming out with an album, I said, is this guy going off the deep end or something?
Has he gone folk? No, actually, they opened a new series called the 9000 series.
Right.
The HAL 9000.
Sorry.
The what?
The HAL 9000. That's the kind of computer that he was in 2001.
We were just
talking about him. But
HAL.
That's not what you meant.
Right.
And, well, they also came out with this EP, too. Well, how about... Why don't we just listen to that Decents EP, and we'll come right back to you, and to you, and to me.
Okay.
And anybody who else is there, 2467...
Oh, I was going to say what you were about to say. If anyone has an answer to those questions, what does chaos stand for? What does control stand for?
Wait a minute.
Does HAL stand for anything? Our lady is back.
2467901
is our phone number, so give us a call.
Why don't you?
All right.
I can't stand the things you do to your God.
And
wow, that worked. Someone called up that number just when we said that.
That's good. It's like really karma, I tell you.
Yeah.
That was The Decents, and that's new on Philo. It's an EP, and the EP is called Get in Trouble, and it's a song called Compared to You.
Sounds really good.
Yeah.
Sounds real good.
Yeah. And yeah, check that out. Now, what do we have queued up here from the Elements album, and could you explain the whole... Well, what is Elements exactly, and what's it mean to you?
Well, this is Mark Egan speaking here.
Yeah.
And Elements is a group that Dan Gottlieb and I put together. And it's Danny and I's nucleus, and featured on this first record is Cliff Carter, keyboard player, and Bill Evans, saxophonist, who's presently playing with Miles Davis.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just being released right now, and as probably some of you know, Danny and I played together quite a while with Pat Metheny. We did the first two records, the White Album, the group album, and American Garage.
Mm-hmm.
And for a long time, we always wanted to do our own thing and just do separate projects. And we finally collaborated and did this. And this first tune is a tune called Electric Fields that I wrote, and it's written about a place in Austria.
Uh-huh.
It starts out with some cowbells. It's sort of reminiscent of cowbells as you go up the slopes on a chairlift.
Sounds pretty interesting.
And,
something on this record that I like very much, it says, Philo Records encourages the artist to assume full creative control of his or her album, and this record is as conceived by the artist. I guess that's true of Philo Records in general.
That's true.
It is. As a matter of fact, when Danny and I first approached doing this project, we were going to do a duo record, just he and I without anyone else, and as things progressed, it was real magical, and we had our friends come in and play with us, and... We didn't have a record deal or anything when we first did this.
Mm-hmm.
We just did it out of pure honesty. This is what we wanted to do as total experimentation. And it really fit in great because Philo said, great, we want it.
Mm-hmm.
And they took it just as it was. So it wasn't like we said, okay, let's do a record that's going to be commercial. This is just as we really, what we always wanted to do.
How are working for the Philo people different from working for, say, ECM?
It's like the difference between the United States and Europe, mm-hmm. you know. And it's just really hard to compare. ECM is such a esoteric jazz sort of thing, whereas Philo has more of a spectrum of music. They've, for the longest time, they've been mostly folk and blues.
Mm-hmm.
And now they've just opened this new series, the 9000 series, like I mentioned. And it's they have a lot of different people on it. There's a group called Kilimanjaro.
Right. They're coming up with a new album shortly, too.
Right. Which is fusion-ish.
Yeah.
And the Elements Project, which is, it's hard to really describe, but it's instrumental, jazz. And they have some synthesizer players, Laurie Spiegel and mm-hmm. a few different people. So it's really wide spectrum.
Yeah, maybe we can pull some of that stuff. Now, in a little while, we will actually even be giving away a couple of copies of this brand new album.
All right.
Yeah.
Before they're even in the stores. They're being shipped this week, I think.
Really? So, well, by the time we get them and we send them out to our winners, they'll probably be in the stores by then, but you'll have your chance to get yours free. So now this is Electric Fields, did you mm-hmm. say it was this? And it was inspired by a walk through Austria?
A chairlift ride up a mountain in Austria.
Sounds pretty good. So you're hearing it first here. Is it this is the first? This is the first airplane it's ever gotten anywhere?
As far as I know.
That you know?
Well, we better hurry up.
In Vermont it did. We better hurry. Okay.
On the Voice
of Long Island.
Didn't tell me the ending of that thing was coming up. Yeah, it was just as it was running out. That's all right. At this point, I think we will give away one of your albums, and I think all a listener would have to do would be to call up, be the third caller at 516-246-7901. That's the third caller, and you'll get yourself an Elements album. courtesy of everyone around here and Philo Records. I'm not going to go back to your other one. I'm going to go to the first cut on here. What is that?
It's a tune called Color Wheel.
Color Wheel. Is that? Right. Do you recommend that I play that?
Yeah. I recommend playing every tune on the record.
Yeah.
As much as possible. No, it's a real pleasant record to listen to.
Okay.
Calming. This first tune is called Color Wheel. I wrote it. It's based on some harmonics on the bass.
Uh-huh.
And it's sort of, in art, a color wheel is used where you mix your primary colors and you get all the different colors of the spectrum. And what I wanted to sort of do with this was to have go through a lot of different tonal colors.
Okay. So if you're the third caller at 246-7901, you can win yourself this album from Mark Egan and Dan Gottlieb. So why don't you play DJ and tell us what we just heard? That's you.
You. Hey.
Oh, yeah.
How you doing?
Yeah.
You're just listening to Elements?
Right, and the song?
And the song was Color Wheel.
Okay.
And that featured Clifford Carter playing synthesizers and keyboards, who was a friend of Danny and ours. We went to school down at the University of Miami together.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, that's where we met Pat Metheny, was down at the University of Miami, as well as a lot of other great musicians. Jaco Pastorius was down there, Mark Colby, Ira Sullivan. Good scene.
Yeah, I'll bet it was.
It's good to be back on a campus scene. You know? Really. I just came from New York City.
You live in New York, do you?
Yeah.
How long have you been living there?
Like going on 7 years right
oh,
now.
Oh, really? So you're a regular then?
Pretty much.
You're not a transient.
Well, sometimes I am.
That's, but you travel all over the world, though, right?
Yeah. Lately, I've been more in town, though,
which
I've been enjoying a lot.
I guess I should, at this point, mention where I first met you. You played at a show sponsored by Windham Hill Records.
Right, right.
And that was a really a fun show. Everybody, well, not everybody, but a whole bunch of people from Windham Hill was down there, and you were there. Do you have anything on Windham Hill? Do you play on anybody's Windham Hill record?
No, as a matter of fact, they approached me about playing. They're doing a tour on the East Coast,
right.
Which is that was part of that,
mm-hmm.
and they asked me to do a live record up in Boston. But as it turned out, they just decided to do it without bass.
Oh.
And anyway, I ended up working at the Bottom Line with them, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, that was
but,
a fun show.
I'd like to do some things on the label because I really like the quality of the pressings and the music, you know.
Yeah.
That was a good evening.
Yeah, it really was. I got such a kick out of it.
Yeah.
We went down with about 5 people from the radio station, and it was just like a real blast. The first show was like really packed, from what I recall.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to try to get in, but there weren't 5 seats together, so we all went down for Chinese food, and then we came back for the second show, which wasn't quite as crowded.
Right. It was good. It was successful for them.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
All right, now what we're going to do is we're going to listen to... Now, well, what do we have queued up now? You told me to do it, so you know what it is.
Right, okay. This is a cut from... I'm playing a lot of stuff that I've played on and friends have played on.
Okay.
Just to turn everybody on to different things that you might not hear. This is a Gil Goldstein record. It's on Muse Records. And on this record is Danny Gottlieb, myself, Steve Swallow is playing bass. He's a great bassist. He plays with Gary Burton and Carl Blake, a number of different people. And it's a tune called Finding Your Own Way.
Okay.
And it starts out with 2 bass solos, one by Steve Swallow and the second one by myself. And it was great to play with Steve Swallow.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's unique to have 2 bass players playing simultaneously on the same record, and it worked out real good.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Okay, we won't listen to the entire tune because we have something else that we're going to go into in the middle of that, or during, well, in a couple of minutes. So we'll hear a couple of minutes of this at least.
Yeah, we have a special public service announcement that can't wait.
That's true. So stay tuned because we will be giving away some more copies of the album Elements right here on The Voice
of Long Island.
Thank you.
Okay, General, is this the first time you've ever been up in our studio, sir?
Yes, in fact it is. I never knew we had studios here at the Public Institute of Selective Service.
Yes, this is the Public Institute of Selective Service studio. And
it's quite interesting, in fact.
You can make yourself comfortable in
here. I'll sit down right at this chair over here.
Okay, and I'm just going to scoot over into that other room, and I'll be back with you.
Oh, you're going over there. Okay.
Yes.
All right, I'll see you through the window then.
Okay, I'm just going to... We'll do our mic check first,
Fine.
And we'll get everything all set up.
Fine. Okay, thank you.
Okay, General, can you hear me?
Oh, yes, I can hear you.
Yes, but I can't hear you. Let me just set up some microphone.
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me? Oh, there I am. I hear myself through these headphones.
I think I got you there, General. Okay, so now, do you know how to...
I never heard my voice through headphones before. This is interesting.
Well, you sound just like yourself, General.
No, I don't think I do.
Well,
let's get on with this, because I'm in a hurry. I've got to get out of here.
All right, now, okay, General, this is the format. We're going to run the music, and then we're going to turn down the music, and when we turn it down, that's when you start talking.
I'll read the public service announcement then, and then you'll send it out to the radio stations.
That's correct, and you'll be famous. Okay, stand by.
Our army will be strong. That's the important thing. Let's get moving.
You're absolutely right, General.
The Russians are on the way, so let's not waste any time.
Wait for the cue.
All right.
Okay. Public Institute of Selective Service radio spot take number one. Oh, sorry, General. I had it at the wrong speed.
I found it.
We'll try it again. Public Institute of Selective Service radio spot take number two.
Oh, boy. If you're in your freshman year, you know how many new responses... Confound it! Can you turn the music down? They can't hear what I'm saying when you turn it that loud.
Sorry, General. We'll have to rewind and start
again. Goodness,
what's
wrong with you? Play the music that loud. Can't hear a thing. This is an important message.
Public Institute of Selective Service radio spot, take three.
If you're in your freshman year, you know how many new responsibilities you have to take on. But added responsibilities just naturally go with growing up. If you're a young man about to celebrate your 18th birthday, you have one more responsibility coming up. Registering with Selective Service. What the tarnation is going on? What was that?
Sorry about that, General. Somebody just threw the wrong switch in here.
Founder, don't you people know what's going on? We've got a public service announcement to get out to these radio stations. The people have to be informed. We need people in our army. We need it now.
Terribly sorry, General. Let's just rewind and start again. Hold on. Public Institute of Selective Service radio spot, take number four. Stand by.
If you're in your freshman year, you know how many new responsibilities you have to take on. But added responsibilities just naturally go with growing up. If you're a young man about to celebrate your 18th birthday, you have one more responsibility coming up, registering with Selective Service. Registration doesn't mean that you're going to get drafted. It doesn't mean that you're giving up your rights to any deferments. It would take an act of Congress to bring back the draft. So why register? Because registration gives Selective Service a list of names our country can draw from if there's ever a national emergency. Actually, registration is quick, it's easy, and it's the law. Here's how to register. Within a month of your 18th birthday, go down... What happened to the music? Where's the music? What's going on?
Sorry, General,
How come you take the music off like that? I was just getting rolling.
We seem to have lost some kind of power. Could you
confound it? What kind of bimbos are running this place?
Please, General, hold on.
This is run by the U.S. government. I can't believe the... Oh.
Hold on for just a minute, please, General. Public Institute of Selective Service Radio Spot, take number 5.
This is an outrage.
I had a horse and its name...
If you're in your freshman year, you know how many new response... What in tarnation is this? What are you playing?
Sorry, General, I think we have
the
wrong...
What kind of fruitcake music is this?
I'm terribly sorry, General.
I want a marching band. I asked for a marching band. That's the least I deserve.
I think we have the wrong...
You certainly do. I think you have the wrong job, young man. Why do I continue doing this?
Please stand by, General. Public Institute of Selective Service Radio Spot, take number 6.
If you're in your freshman year, you know how many new responsibilities you have to take on. But added responsibilities just naturally go with growing up. If you're a young man about to celebrate your 18th birthday, you have one more responsibility coming up, registering with Selective Service. Registration doesn't mean that you're going to be drafted. It doesn't mean that you're giving up your rights to any deferments. It would take an act of Congress to bring back the draft. So why register? Because registration gives Selective Service...
Sorry, General. Seemed to have a little difficulty in here.
Didn't have a little difficulty with life.
Could we just try it one more time, please?
This is the last time I'm trying it. The last time!
Public Institute of Selective Service Radio Spot, take 7.
No wonder the Russians are ahead of us. If you're in your freshman year, you know how many new responsibilities you have to take on. But added responsibilities just naturally go with growing up. If you're a young man about to celebrate your 18th birthday, you have one more responsibility coming up. Registering with Selective Service. Registration doesn't mean that you're going to be drafted. It doesn't mean that you're giving up your rights to any deferments. It would take an act of Congress to bring back the draft. So why register? Because registration gives Selective Service a list of names our country can draw from if there's ever a national emergency. Actually, registration is quick, it's easy, and it's the law. Here's how to register. Within a month of your 18th birthday, go down to the nearest U.S. post office. Pick up the simple registration form, fill it out, and then hand it to the postal clerk. That's all there is to it. You're in and out of the post office in 5 minutes. So if you're a young man nearing your 18th birthday, take time out and register with the Public Institute of Service Sective. Can we do this over? I messed it up.
What happened there, General?
I messed up a word. Let's go back and do it over.
General, I think we're going to have to find somebody else. Is that okay?
What do you mean, find somebody else? You make 6 mistakes, I make 1, and you say you have to find somebody else?
General, we
just
made...
What kind of an outrage is this?
General, we made 7 mistakes. We can't... The Army cannot afford this.
Oh, I don't have to deal with this. I'm leaving.
Thank you.
Is it my imagination or is it raining there?
Oh. That was actually rain.
Real rain?
Uh-huh. Well, it was a tape of rain.
Uh-huh.
And I always wanted to do a bass solo in the rain just to have that atmosphere. And actually, that was a segue out of another tune that's on the record. Where there's a big cloudburst and a thunderstorm, and then the rain comes and I play in the rain.
Oh, so it's kind of moody.
Yeah, it's really moody. As a matter of fact, that's why we call it this record Elements, is because we're playing with the elements, so to speak, you know.
So, what was that song called?
It's called Valley.
Mm-hmm. And is that the only bass solo on the thing?
No, there's a lot of bass solos on the record since I did the record.
Yeah.
You know, wrote the music.
Yeah.
No, but that's the only where it's only bass. That's mm-hmm. the only place in the record. And then there's another tune following it, Aerial View, there's bass solo. And the third tune on the last side, there's another, the solo's all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, I tried, when I approached this record, it wasn't to just show off bass technique or chops, you know. I really wanted to do something that's really musical. And so, you know, this isn't like the last word in the fastest hands in the world, you know, because that's not where I'm coming from.
Right.
It was really to make a musical statement, so.
Just something fun
something
to do.
Something nice to listen to.
Sounds good. In fact, I think at this point, you want to give another album away? Does anybody have any objection to that?
No, it's a good idea.
Eric, you know, your mic is on, but you're just shaking your head. You're not saying anything. He just shook his head, yes. The number here.
516-246-7901.
And what will we do? We'll take this.
We'll take the fourth caller this time.
The fourth caller this time?
To that number, yes.
Okay. And we're going to play something from an old album. This is from the... Now, is this Pat Metheny's first album? Basically?
That is the first group album.
Uh-huh.
He had a few other albums before that.
Okay.
But this is the White album, the Pat Metheny group album, which came out a year after we had been together.
Mm-hmm. And this is a song called San Lorenzo.
Right, one of my favorites.
Yeah. On the voice
of Long Island.
Thank you.
This is Pat Metheny's San Lorenzo, the Pat Metheny Group. And that's off the Pat Metheny Group album, right?
That's it.
Yeah. And that's a fine album. I like that. I also like Phase Dance. I get a kick out of that every time I hear that, too.
Yeah. San Lorenzo was always one of my favorite tunes.
Why is that?
To play on. It just has such a great mood to it. And it was always, it's the type of tune that always played itself when it performed it, which is virtually every night, 300 days a year.
Really?
And it just was always a pleasure to play it, you know. It was like Back to Paradise.
So. When did this come out? About 78 or so?
Yeah, early 78. Mm-hmm.
And you were touring all around the country or all around the world? Or
all around the United States and Europe,
uh-huh.
basically. And we had been playing for a year just about every day, every uh-huh. night. And finally we just went into the studio. It was done in Norway, where uh-huh. most of the ECM records are done. Did it with Manfred Eicher.
Right.
And we did the record in about 4 days, which is amazingly fast
yeah.
to do a record that sounds like that. You know, most records take 2 weeks to do the basic tracks, and then mm-hmm. there's overdubs and everything else, but that was real fast, basically because we had been playing the music and we knew what we wanted for.
Yeah.
So.
Hmm.
It was a lot of fun.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
We're, at this point, I guess we should say you're tuned to WUSB
Stony Brook,
and it's about 10 minutes past 1 o'clock, 4 degrees Celsius here in Stony Brook, and that's about 39 Fahrenheit. Let me just check that chart. Yeah, yeah, that's pretty good, huh? I'm learning.
It's hard to get used to this.
Yeah, yeah, but I'm forcing myself to, though.
Good
for you. We're gonna take a break from the music right now, and I'm gonna turn your mic off so you can just
bye.
We'll come back to you in a minute, but we do have some more stuff to read from this. Oh, by the way, do stay tuned though because we will have more albums to give away. Now we have
more words
from the book Words.
These ones are called fizzlers,
mm-hmm.
terms whose time has not yet come. And there's a little intro here I'd like to read. There is something fascinating about new words and phrases that are introduced or suggested and then flop. And what follows here is a modest collection of such flops, including a sampling of proposed non-sexist pronouns that were doomed from the start because they looked and sounded more like Estonian than English. Okay, one thing that was created by the Nixon administration was Americade. It was one of a group of 22 words created by them in 1972 as possible replacements for the word welfare. Some others were AmeriShare, FairCare, ShareFair, AmeriCare, YourFair, BetterFade, and FamFair. And then there's the word banana. Yes, when Alfred Kahn, President Carter's resourceful inflation fighter, was reprimanded by the White House for using the word recession, he substituted the word banana. Didn't work too well. Chunnel, the long-planned, occasionally revived tunnel under the English Channel between England and France. It was first proposed in the middle of the 19th century and was last revived as an idea in the 1960s. And then there's Cash-O-Mat, which is the first name used for the electronic tellers that are attached to American banks. In fact, Mike, they just built the Cash-O-Mat here at Stony Brook.
Well, they don't call it a Cash-O-Mat, though, do they?
I do.
You do now.
Yeah. Then there's the word co, a word to produce he, replace rather, he or she, suggested by writer Mary Orovan. The plural is cause, and himself and herself become ca-self.
Does that have co-self. Anything like to do with co-ed?
I guess it does. That must be it, because it doesn't explain. Doesn't explain how that.
Pretty interesting.
This is a good one. Cross growth. Okay, in 1969, the Pentagon launched an effort spearheaded by Deputy Secretary of Defense David Packard to banish the term cost overrun and replace it with cost growth. Real clever of them. Okay, what else do we have? Electrolith, a less jarring name that has been suggested for the electric chair. ENCO. This is a good one, ENCO. For years, the name for various corporate parts of the giant Standard Oil Company of New Jersey. And when the company decided to settle on one international trademark, it considered ENCO, but decided instead on Exxon when it found that ENCO sounded like the Japanese term for stalled car.
Yeah, that's true.
How about Ferority, a collegiate social organization that admits both sexes? Such places are common, but the name is not.
ditto for fresh person. You know, they call people fresh people here at Stony Brook.
They do.
When they first come in. Yeah, I remember when I was a fresh person myself.
Did they call you a fresh person many years ago?
It was on a lot of the pamphlets that you got. They
oh, really?
Would just say fresh person, and I used to think it was pretty funny. Then there's Hugh person, a short-lived suggestion for a neutral replacement for a human.
Right.
Clans person. Non-sexist title advocated by the Grand Dragon of the Ku Klux Klan, according to William Lambden's Double Speak Dictionary. And there's Norse person, a Norseman de-sexed. What else do we have? Person hole.
You were going to look into that one, weren't you? And somebody was going to push you in.
Yeah. Raccoon. A balloon.
Wait. Go back to person hole. Aren't you going to read?
Oh, person hole, it's a term created in 1978 by the Woonsocket, Rhode Island City Council. Yeah, we were going to look into that. I think we still will.
Okay.
Woonsocket, Rhode Island, yeah. Raccoon, a balloon-launched rocket, an idea from the late 1950s whose time has yet to come. And do you know what they were going to call busboys?
No.
Sanitarians. An upgraded name. Okay, and there's one more over here for waitresses. Waitron. A neutral term for waiters and waitresses.
I'm going to read a few. Now, this book called Words by Paul Dixon is basically pretty much a bunch of words that are just uncommon in the English language. Although, he actually made up a few of his very own. And I have a few,
he did?
Yeah, I have a few favorites here. Comchout word.
Yeah?
Do you have any idea what that might be?
No idea.
That's word or words that appear on printed tapes generated by the new computerized checkout machines. The words are generally shortened so that one occasionally finds unnerving or odd items on the tape. Writing in the Washington Post, Ellen Ficklin told of her surprise at finding out that she had bought herself some cannibalistic-sounding man soup mix, which is actually a package of Manischewitz soup makings. Comchat words are hidden within those little bars, you know, in the UPC things.
Well, they're not really hidden. I mean, they're electronically
they're
hidden.
That's true. That's what it says here, because I was reading that and not realizing that there's a picture here until the last minute. So here's another one, Hojonate.
Yeah? Hojonate? Is that something to do with Howard Johnson's?
How'd you guess?
I don't know.
A one-word compression of a multi-word name for a company, product, or service from Hojo, which is the Hojonate of Howard Johnson. Citgo, Memco, Arco, and Nabisco are common Hojonates. And it's also a verb, to Hojonate, which is to compress for commercial purposes.
Oh, that's
now,
nice.
These are interesting words that he's made up himself, like McWord.
McWord?
Yes, an awkwardly pretentious mix of languages or traditions. For instance, Miss Piggy's use of moi, the name of Wayne Newton's mansion, which is Casa Shenandoah.
Oh, God.
And Scott's Irish surnamed food, as in McMuffin, McChicken, that kind of stuff.
A sort of franglaise, I guess.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
Necker.
Le hot dog.
N-E-C-K-A-R. To test or you're going to like this one.
Okay.
And you are a good necker yourself.
Okay.
To test or try something in such a way as to invite disaster. He neckered the brakes on his new Ford by racing up close to a brick wall and then slamming it down on the pedal at the last moment. That sounds like something you would do.
Well, I don't know about that.
The term comes from a river of the same name in West Germany, where the prime example of modern neckering took place in 1979. The U.S. Army helped German authorities test a new bridge spanning the river by driving 34 of its heaviest fully manned M60 tanks onto the structure. It sagged, but it didn't collapse.
I'll bet they were happy about that.
And one of my favorites here is pun burn. That's the last one I have. The pain that comes with a pun that has not been expressed. For instance, a friend calls to say he is in the hospital and fallen in love with the woman who has been attending him there. You get off the phone and pun burn ensues as you realize you should have said, "You mean to say you took a turn for the nurse?"
Yeah. Well, you see, that wouldn't affect me for some reason.
No, you're not that punny, are you?
No, I'm not.
But some very interesting stuff here. This is, again, from Words by Paul Dixon. It's published by Delacorte Press of New York.
Someone tells me we'll be looking at that book for some time to come.
For weeks to come.
It's so big. There's so many words in there.
Yeah.
Thousands, hundreds, millions.
Now, let's
wrong order on that.
Yeah. That's true. The only orders are junk words. Have you gone through any of these?
Junk words, no.
These are a bunch of contemporary cliches. I'm just going to read off a few.
Okay.
Absolutely. Accession rate. Add-on. Ambience. At this point in time. Back burner. Ballpark figure. Basically. Well, a lot of people around here say that, including
yeah.
me. bite the bullet. A boilerplate. Bottom line. Business as usual. Can of worms. Cliche laden. Cognizant. The crunch. Craft. Dialogue. Detente. Detente, I guess. Eye contact. Great stuff. Hardcore. Hardball. Hang a left. Hard nosed. Have sex. Ooh. Quick and dirty. Prioritize. That's a good one, huh?
Yeah.
Good junk word. Methodology. Mega bucks.
Mega bucks?
That's a great junk
word. I've heard
word.
That one a few
yeah,
times.
Yeah. Optimize. Off the wall. And just a whole bunch of stuff in here.
Oh, and this is only the English language.
That's right. I wonder, there's even a section on here in here on all sorts of different, like, dialects. Not really dialects, but different languages of...
Well, there's a section on British words.
Right. There's also a section here of, like, Pig Latin, that kind of stuff.
Oh, that's something I never did understand.
No, but they explained so many...
I wanted to take that when I went to college. But
really? There's so many different types here, like... just different, like, Opish, King Tut, Ruly English, Short Order Code, Eggy Peggy, Framis, Double Dutch, Turkey Irish. Those are all the Pig Latin type of dialects and stuff like that.
Wow. Those are the dialects of Pig Latin? You mean there
are
dialects?
Well, no, those are different types. You remember how you can say amscray when you want to say scram, right?
Yeah.
That's the only word in Pig Latin I can remember.
All right, before we leave this part, I just want to say a few more words that mean drunk.
Oh, okay.
Some more groups of words. He's as good conditioned as a puppy. He smelt of an onion. He's eaten the coconut. He makes indentures with his legs. The king is his cousin. He's a king. He's right before the wind with all his studding sails out. That's one I'm going to say. The malt is above the water. He's eaten a pudding bag.
Hmm.
He cuts his capers. Sir Richard has taken off his considering cap. He's a dead man.
What were there? There were over 2,200 of them?
2,231.
Yeah.
Three more. His flag is out. He's kissed Black Betty. And he's had a thump over the head with Samson's jawbone.
Hmm.
Really good stuff.
Well, while we were just babbling through some of those words, Mark...
Yeah.
Mark Egan took a breath of fresh air, and you're back.
Right. I just went out and got some more Stan Simoli records.
Oh, good. So we'll be giving away one of them.
Right.
Right. Okay. So now, who is Stan... Stan...
Spam.
Stan.
Sorry.
Spam.
Stan the man. Stan Simoli is a guitar player who I went to school with down in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good friend of Danny Gottlieb's and I. He was a teacher down at the University of Miami. He taught mm-hmm. the guitar department. And he's living...
There's a whole department devoted entirely to guitar?
Well, the guitar department of the jazz department.
Oh, I see.
But he was in charge of that, and he okay. taught theory, and we did a lot of playing together. And this particular cut on the record that we're going to... Well, actually, Danny and I play on one side of the record.
Yeah.
And the rest is cuts with different people from the Florida area. But this cut was... Actually took place in Chicago after a Matheny concert. Stan had booked some time at a studio,
mm-hmm.
and we just went in and improvised, and with some real inspired moments.
This was after a concert?
After a concert. It was like 1 in the morning.
1 o'clock in the morning.
The best time, you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
the late hours.
Those creative juices really flow.
Look
what time it is now. It's 22 after 1.
Right. And so it was a lot of fun, and he has his own record label called Lotus Records,
mm-hmm.
which is what this is on, and he also has one other release. It's a solo guitar record.
I see.
And he studied a lot of Eastern philosophies. He was into Sri Chinmoy for a long time.
Say what?
He was into just a lot of Indian philosophy and a lot of meditative type of music.
Uh-huh. Hmm.
So,
okay, you have some extra ones there.
Yeah.
So we'll give one away. And let's make it the second caller this time. And, whoops, that's not the one.
Is this meditative music we're going to hear?
No. This is Go For It Jam.
Oh, okay.
We'll listen to at least a little bit of it.
Yeah.
But at the second caller at
516-246-7901.
And you get yourself a copy of this Stan Simoli album.
Sounds good.
From the Voice
of Long Island.
Thank you.
just let you explain the name of the song again?
The name of that was Waves.
Uh-huh.
And it was
Stan Simoli.
Stan Simoli record with Dan Gallagher and myself, Mark Egan. And that was recorded
in
Chicago.
Yeah, right. We are speaking with Mark Egan tonight. Yeah, at Chicago, about how long ago?
It was 1978, I think.
At about this time of night you recorded it, too, huh?
Mm-hmm. Maybe even a little later than that.
All right, we'll be coming back to you in a few minutes. Now, what is that you're jingling in the microphone?
I brought my children with me.
Your children?
Yeah. Malt. Hi, how you doing? And this is Millie. Hi. And these are some monkeys. Little monkeys.
And you made them out of socks, huh?
Yeah, these are homemade. And they're my dearest kids. I wanted to bring them to the station because they like...
They like all the exposure.
Yeah, they like all the...
The technology. The
right.
The whole physical aura, I guess, huh?
Yeah, they enjoy it.
Hmm. All right.
Keep me out of trouble.
Okay, so we'll be coming back after a few minutes. We'll be coming back to some more of your new album, and we'll have one more copy of your album to give away. Yes, you can come in, Eric.
Oh, thank you.
So, now, you have something in there, right?
Yeah, I've got a lot. Let me just close the door. Open the door first, then close it. There we go. Yeah, we have a couple of things.
And at the same time, we can see Africa.
It's not quite organized yet. It's getting there.
Okay. But you don't...
Who is that?
You don't have anything queued up.
Yes, I do, in fact. We had a request for some yellow.
Yellow.
And as most people who know me know, I have a T-shirt with yellow on it. And this is the album with my T-shirt on it. Well, actually, my T-shirt has the album on it. It could be looked on either way, but it's a really weird album and it's a really weird shirt.
That's true, especially when you wear it.
Yeah, and this is a weird song. It's called Coast to Polka.
2-4-6-7-9-0-1
That's not part of it. That's our phone number. 516-246-7-9-0
516-246-7-9-0-1
Thank you. Yes, that's the missing digit. Give us a call with your comments, things like that, ideas, suggestions.
We're not giving away anything right at this minute, but we will shortly.
Yes, so shortly before the news.
Right.
I think so.
Okay,
anyway.
You have your thing already?
Yeah, this is called Coast to Polka from Yellow off the record. Does this record have a name? Yes, it's called Solid Pleasure. So here we go.
Let's hear from Lawrence Nimkoff, who will tell us about his new upcoming show on this station.
Hi, I'm Lawrence Nimkoff, and next week there will be the premiere of my new show, The Amazing, Unexpected, Unusual World. You'll see the amazing from the mountains of Tibet to the valley of the Grand Canyon. You'll see the unexpected from Mao Zedong's first baby diaper to a sausage made entirely of belly button lint. You'll even see the unusual from Bettina, the 110-year-old belly dancer and mud wrestler, to actual 1957 undoctored photographs of Ronald Reagan hunger striking for the IRA. In addition, next week, you'll hear the ludicrous, the ridiculous, the humorous, the provocative, the abnormal, the unconventional, the unfamiliar, the weird, the unbelievable, the terrific, the madcap, the quiet, the extreme, the sublime, the honorable, the disgusting, the terrible, the sausage, the loud, the obnoxious, the insane, the lunatic, the insane, the psychotic, the demented, the dirty, low, insane, ugly demons that have been living in the sewers below your home and are waiting until dark to come out and blow up your dog until he screams in agony like a sick baby does when you give it moldy milk for a breakfast that you accidentally burned because you hurt your ankle in the shower by slipping on a bar of no-frills soap that you got for only 15 cents, but you had only a quarter and the drugstore had no change, so you went to the bank next door as it was being robbed and you got a gun jammed into your ribs, which made you angry as an untamed lion in the African wilderness which just lost its wife to an angry hunter from Argentina who loves to kill defenseless animals and is being prosecuted by the ASPCA and 16 expensive lawyers who just love the money that people pay to the corrupt governments each year on tax day, the day you fear most, like the demons that haunt your basement and live in that broken vacuum cleaner that you forgot down there that shorted out 10 years ago, almost killing that man who sells magazines to help pay for his corrective eye surgery that he needed because he was always too poor to buy glasses and had to squint and couldn't see the teacher spell the word chrysanthemum on the board in third grade and has not been able to spell it correctly even though he has become a florist since then and sells 4 or 5 dozen a week to men who have been dishonest to their wives and deserve to be shot, like people named Bernard and Shirley and people who don't have blonde hair and white teeth that never get cavities because they brush with a gel in a container that never breaks.
Be sure to tune in to Lawrence Nimkoff, coming soon to this station. I don't exactly know when soon is, but it promises to be an exciting show. Doesn't it, Eric? Eric? Yoo-hoo.
The preceding program was a pre-recorded presentation of WUSB.
Huh? Stony Brook. Okay, so Mark Egan here, there. You're sitting there. That's
right.
You.
Mike House.
So you have one more copy of your album to give away. But first we're gonna what we'll do is you have a request that you wanted to hear something from Suzanne Ciani, right?
Right, I did.
Yeah, and
she's a friend of mine.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear that, Eric? Seems everybody everybody we invite up to the station, everybody we interview has some kind of common link between
Susan?
Yeah, well, just, I don't know.
Some common link with anything.
Yeah, something
yeah.
Like that. So what we'll do, I guess we'll get into that after we play one more tune off of your album here.
Okay, great.
Now, what did we have queued up?
Starward.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to have time to do the entire song. Is that okay? Or would you rather me play something else? Will you stop slamming that door in there?
Yeah, we should play Starward.
Okay.
It's a good tune. It's a reggae tune.
Uh-huh.
And it was written, the name of the tune is written after a ship called the MS Starward that I took down in Florida. I heard Jamaican. I went to Jamaica every week.
Oh, you did?
And I heard great reggae music. It was,
of course,
the greatest.
Speaking of reggae music, we have two of the best reggae programs on the air anywhere here. Tomorrow afternoon at noon, from noon to 3:30 with Lister, Hugh, and Lowe. And Friday evenings from 7 to 9 with Philip, and that's Rockin' Iration. Right, thanks, Frank. So, be the first caller at that number. Well, we're not yet, not till I give. Let me just say goodbye. Thanks very much for coming up tonight.
Thanks for having us here, and I want to thank all the listeners for listening to the music and check out the Elements record.
Right. And it will be in your stores very shortly, and those of you who will be winning will get it shortly. And Eric, you're there, right? You're going to be pulling a news together, right? Well, either you or me or somebody like that.
Was that me you thought?
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi.
Yes, I will be putting together a newscast, and you should be hearing that at about 1:55.
Or thereabouts.
Yeah.
So stay tuned to the Voice of All Long Island. Mark Egan, thanks very much for coming down.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
And there his kids. Be the second caller. Let's make it the second caller at
516-246.
7901.
And you win yourself a copy of this album, Elements. This is Annie Chani, the second wave called Sirens, here on 90.1 FM. Time now for a look at the latest news with Eric Corley in the other studio.
Thank you. And here is the latest news in order of importance, according to the Associated Press. Nevada Senator Paul Laxalt reportedly is ready to become the next chairman of the Republican National Committee. A White House official says Laxalt, a close friend of President Reagan, is due to meet with Reagan Saturday to discuss the appointment. The official says an announcement is expected at that time. Current Chairman Richard Richards is leaving in January, ending his term. Adlai Stevenson says he remains optimistic about the outcome of the Illinois governor's race, but incumbent Jim Thompson is claiming victory. Final unofficial vote tallies showed Thompson, a Republican, ahead of his Democratic challenger by 9,900 votes. Stevenson says no one should claim victory until the official count has been released. Another drawn-out contest was decided Friday. Republican Senator John Chafee of Rhode Island won re-election to a second term. He claimed victory over Democratic challenger Julius Michelson. And history was made Friday in the ranks of New York City's firefighters. 11 women completed a 6-week training course and became qualified for firefighting work. The women graduated from the Fire Academy over the objections of the Firefighters Union. The graduation took place after a court failed to act on the union's request to block the graduation. And in other news, Channel 21, Long Island's non-commercial public television station, has been off the air since early this morning after a video amplifier in the station's transmitter failed. Actually, early yesterday morning. Station President Art Gillick says they will remain off the air until late today. He says a new amplifier has been ordered from an RCA division in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and is being tuned and shipped to the station sometime today. The amplifier apparently blew when technicians went to sign on the station this morning at 6:45 a.m. Gillick says all programs will be rescheduled for a later date. Well, that theme here underneath us is our theme, and that means it's time for us to go.
It wasn't underneath us.
I heard it.
It is now. Well, goodbye.
Bye.
WUSB.
Stony Brook.
Out my head by 10:30. Out with mates and dates and friends. That's what I do at weekends. I can't talk and I can't walk, but I know where I'm going to go. I'm going to watch my money go at the local, no, no. When my feet go through the door, I know what my right arm is for. Buy a drink and pull a chair up to the edge of the dance floor. Dancers bouncing through the night, trying to stop or start a fight. I sit and watch the flashing lights, moving legs in footless tights. I go out on Friday night and I come home. The bar gets full. I don't like life when things get dull. The hen party have saved the night. They freed themselves from drunken stacks, having fun and dancing in a circle round the leather bags. I go out on Friday night and I come home on Saturday. Standing someone else's view. Wish I had lipstick
back on my shirt instead of piss stains on my shoes. I go out on Friday night and I come home on Saturday morning. I go out on Friday night and I come home on Saturday morning. I go out on Friday night and I come home on Saturday morning. I go out on Friday night and I come home on Saturday morning. I go out on Friday night and
a damn tough life, full of toil and strife, we whalemen undergo. We don't give a damn when the gale is done, how hard the winds did blow. We're a homeward bound, 'tis a grand old sound, with a good ship taut and free. We don't give a damn when we drink our rum with the girls of old Maui. Rolling down to old Maui, my boys, rolling down to old Maui. We're a homeward bound from the Arctic around, rolling down to old Maui. Once more we sail with a northerly gale through the ice and wind and rain. And them coconut ferns and them tropical lands we soon shall see again. 6 hellish months have passed away in the cold Kamchatka Sea. But now we're bound from the Arctic around, rolling down to old Maui. Rolling down to old Maui, my boys, rolling down to old Maui. We're homeward bound from the Arctic around, rolling down to old Maui. Once more we sail with a northerly gale towards our island of home. Our mainmast sprung and our whaling done, and we ain't got far to roam. Our stunsail booms is carried away. What care we for that sound? A living gale is after us. Thank God we're a homeward bound. Rolling down to old Maui, my boys, rolling down to old Maui. We're homeward bound from the Arctic around, rolling down to old Maui. How soft the breeze from the island trees, now the ice is far astern. And them native maids in them island glades is awaiting our return. Even now their big black eyes look out, hoping some fine day to see. Our baggy sails are running for the gales, rolling down to old Maui. Rolling down to old Maui, my boys, rolling down to old Maui. We're homeward bound from the Arctic around, rolling down to old Maui.
Flat on my back, my legs are broken and my ribs are cracked. My front teeth are missing, I'm one big scar. Don't ever have a wreck in a Japanese car. Well, me and my buddy, we're out for a ride. We had a couple of honeys sitting by our side. We stopped at a red light 3 cars back when the sky behind us gave us a tap. Now I don't care how fat you are, you're still not safe in a Japanese car. I know they're pretty and they'll take you far, but you're gonna get killed in a Japanese car. I love my Sony Walkman, my Hitachi TV, my Nikon camera and my new CD. I time shift my viewing with my VCR, but I'll never buy another little Japanese car. There's not a song on the radio that I can't get with my new Nakamichi metal taste cassette. Yamaha built this great guitar, but I'll never buy another little Japanese car. Now I don't care how fat you are, you're still not safe in a Japanese car. I know they're pretty and they'll take you far, but you're gonna get killed in a Japanese car. Chevrolet. I wanna live to see another sunny day. I won't steal all around me in a heavy frame. These recycled beer cans crush and maim. Now when you're cruising down the highway doing 55 and your little car is being blown from side to side, think about me wherever you are, and you'll never buy another little Japanese car. What would have been a fender bender years ago?
chopped off my toe. Plant obsolescence, that's all they are, and you're gonna get killed in a Japanese car. I'm in the Northside Hospital, flat on my back. My legs are broken and my wrists are cracked. My front teeth are missing, I'm a one-day scar. Don't ever have a wreck in a Japanese car. Yeah, well, me and my buddy, we're out for a ride. We had a cup full of honey.
Thank you. The Oakland Ballet.
And we're listening to WUSB in Stony Brook, 90.1 FM.
Insights, a daily feature of this station. I'm Steve Schick. Remember when made in Japan meant cheap knickknacks and inferior goods? Times have changed, as economist John Kenneth Galbraith notes.
In the years since World War II, we have seen the emergence of two spectacularly strong societies, one of them being West Germany, the other being Japan. And we have seen, by the same token, the continued and persistent weakness in our own economy.
Why do we have such a hard time competing with these two newly matured industrial giants?
When we examine the